Welcome to a special edition of St. Teresa's on the Air. I guess we could call this the coronavirus edition of St. Teresa's on the Air. If you've tried to come to church in the past few weeks, you haven't been able to. So, and actually, you know, we have, this is going to be kind of like a roundtable discussion. We have several people as guests on this edition. We have Father Ray, the pastor. He is here.
Hello, everybody.
That's it. We have Father Chris, the associate pastor. He is here.
Hola.
Hola. We have Deacon Mike, who is the deacon. He is here.
Howdy, howdy.
And Deacon Jay is self-isolating and sequestered because Deacon Jay is over a certain age that they don't like him getting out to be around people.
So he's going to love hearing that.
We were going to try to phone him in or Skype him in, but there was no real way to get the sound quality working with it. Mm. With this. We are not in the St. Teresa's WTOA studio. We are across the street in the conference room, separated by 6 feet.
Or more.
Or more, really. We're sort of like, it's like, and in this corner we have. It's kind of like that. So we are all together here to kind of talk about, it's being recorded, so you understand, because this is going to run several times. But this is being recorded as we enter into Holy Week and the Easter Triduum. That's when we're recording. So if any of this is outdated by the time you listen to it, you'll understand what's going on. But so as we start, we have not been occupying the building for a couple of weeks, right, Father Ray?
That is correct. And we miss you very much.
Yes. And, you know, the thing about that is it started, we actually had the church order first. The diocese said,
that's right.
Shut her down. That was even before the city of Albany or the state of Georgia said shut them down.
Yeah, that's right.
The diocese said we needed to do that. So we've kind of been ahead of the game. So let's start there, because some of the questions that folks emailed in or called in have to do with the rules, the regs, the nuts and bolts, the questions like, are we really going to church when we watch it online? You know, just really kinds of questions. So let's start there. It's been a couple weeks since we've been to church. People are watching Mass online. Father Chris is doing online, would you call it, webcasting or YouTube casting or Facebook casting or
virtual Mass, I guess.
Virtual Mass?
I guess.
Okay. And doing a good job with that, too, by the way.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
He's available there. But if you want to travel, they always say you can travel on the internet. If you want to travel, you can watch the diocese from the cathedral. There's a broadcast from the cathedral online, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes.
And then You can do like I did on Palm Sunday, which was watch the Vatican, watch the Pope do his thing. Mm-hmm. There are all sorts of ways to attend Mass. But then the question comes, all right, so we're watching it, we're seeing the readings, we're seeing everything going on. Communion. They've heard the phrase virtual communion or spiritual communion. Who wants to tackle that? Because we are still fulfilling our obligation for attending when we're watching, are we not?
Yes,
under these conditions.
And I know Father Chris is just dying to answer this, and so.
Really? Thanks. Appreciate it. I was just like, I don't know. Like, so, from my understanding, like, the actual obligation itself to attend Mass has been suspended. And so everyone is individually going on their own if they want to watch Mass and, quote-unquote, attend it. I mean, that's on them. And so there isn't there isn't like a declaration that you must fulfill your obligation by watching it on Facebook, watching it on social media in some way. Like, there isn't anything like that.
So there's no edict that says at Saturday at 5, you must line up in front of your computer and tune in.
Correct. There's nothing like that.
But it's nice if you do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really helps us just kind of enter in a little bit. And so I think there's a type of spiritual participation in what is going on. You're able to kind of like, you're in a way of saying like you're agreeing with what is happening. You're going through the movements of the Eucharist, of the offering, even though you're not there, you know, physically present. It's being communicated to you. You're seeing it happen, so you're entering in some way. And so spiritual communion, when you begin to talk about a spiritual communion, like I'm open to being corrected, but we've had, you know, parts of our history just in like as Catholics where the greatest saints didn't even go to Mass every week. Like, they were lucky if they had Mass once a month. And so they would do spiritual communions regularly. They wanted to have that union with him, and it was that much more like ecstatic and special when they were able to receive the Eucharist physically. And so I imagine that it's something similar that's just going on. We're being put into a state where we're, you know, that these saints of old, you know, kind of didn't have the Eucharist, didn't have Mass readily available to them, and now we don't now. And so we're almost entering into that same state of being able to enter in with the spiritual communion, to enter in spiritually. I thought I even heard that there was this, it might have been Don Bosco or I don't know, but it was around his time, there was a plague that was going on, and so no one can leave their homes. Don Bosco then ordered the men, the priests in his religious order, to go out into the streets and celebrate Mass there in the public squares, so at least the people can watch from their homes, from the windows, the Mass that is going on. So we're kind of basically doing a modern version of that.
The window of the computer screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
That's very good.
Thanks.
He gets an A+ for history there, doesn't he?
Yeah. I think the important thing for us to remember is that although you may not be able to physically attend Mass and receive the sacrament, the reality is that the Mass is happening all the time, all over the world. Hundreds and thousands of priests and bishops and even our Holy Father, the Pope, says Mass just about every single day. And there is great graces in that. You know, when you think about when you're homesick and you can't come to Mass, you know my famous saying about that, right? The only time you're allowed to miss Mass is when you're home puking. Then we don't want you here, right? Well, this is another time. I mean, yeah, I'd love to have you here, but because of health reasons, you can't be. So mm-hmm. when you're homesick and your family comes to Mass, your community is here praying, those graces are still being sent your way. And although, you know, it may be just myself alone or Father Chris alone or any of the priests who are alone saying Mass, you have to be assured that the graces of that Mass are still being poured upon you as we pray for you. And there's a lot of power in that, you know. There's the old saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think this is one of those beautiful things about how God can make good out of anything. And in this case, I'm hoping that your own personal desire to want to come to be before the Blessed Sacrament, to receive the Eucharist, will really enlighten your heart and your soul, and then your body, once you're able to actually never ever miss Mass and to come as often as you possibly can.
Yeah, I think the absence does make the heart grow fonder. It certainly, I think what's going to happen, this is my own personal prediction, is, you know, people will come back, they will have missed the experience so much, but the experience itself will intensify because having been absent from it for a little bit, you're going to be focusing on all the little nuances and how much it really does mean to you.
Yeah. You know, last night we can't speak for everybody, but I watched the Chrism Mass from the cathedral.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a priest, it's a very important Mass for me and for my priesthood, where I renew my promises along with all of my brother priests. And for 15 years now, on that Tuesday night of Holy Week, I have sat in that cathedral. And last night I sat in my office watching it on my computer. And there's a great absence. And so I understand what people are feeling because they can't come to church. I understand what they're feeling. But the absence is powerful in the same way, because it's very spiritual as well. You know, at the end of that Chrism Mass, Father Pablo led the prayer for a spiritual communion, which, you know, is how I received communion at that Mass. I didn't have a little Mass set up in my office desk, and, you know, I just kind of copied what the bishop was doing.
Holy. I was thinking about doing that.
I connected with the 500 or 600 other people that said we're online and received just like everybody else. So, you know, although it is wonderful to be able to say Mass and to receive the Eucharist every day, it also comes with great responsibility, you know. And so, and that's for all of us. It doesn't matter what our state in life is, whether we're priest, deacon, or layperson. You know, it's great gift. It's great grace, but it's also great responsibility for us to be able to receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and to just trust in God, you know, and to kind of follow the motto of Pope St. John Paul II, to fear not and not be afraid, that whatever happens in this situation, as I've said 1,000 times from the pulpit, God has got this, and God will always win.
All right. So to answer the original question, of course, we went off, and that's good. And that is the obligation, the Sunday physical obligation of the church is suspended during this particular health crisis. And you're, of course, welcome to view Mass and receive those blessings in that manner. The other big thing that goes along, especially at this time of the year, is the Easter duty of confession. So how does somebody who did not get to confession before the 7th or 8th of March, when this whole thing started, how do they get to make a confession, or is that also kind of suspended for the time being?
Well, if you watched the couple Fridays ago, I think it was, when the Holy Father gave the indulgence, the plenary indulgence, which was like, thank you, you know.
That was a freebie.
That was a freebie, and, you know, all you got to do now is don't sin, right? Just don't sin.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But if you, and it's important that you... You know, we keep sending messages out on topics like this on the parish app, on the My Parish app. And, you know, I sent something out a couple of weeks ago about what Pope Francis said. And it's still on there. And I would suggest you kind of go back and take a look at, you know, what if I can't receive? You know, and the Pope himself says, look, sometimes you just don't have the opportunity to get to a priest. And so what do? You know, you do like the prodigal son. You return to the father. You turn around and you head back to the father. And not, you know, the father, Father Ray, or Father Chris, or Father whoever, but to God the Father. And God the Father, who knows the depths of your heart, will take care of you because he understands the situation. Now, this is not, you know, something that you can quote in 25 years from now, after you've never gone back to confession, because Father Ray said 25 years ago when we had the coronavirus, oh, I don't need to go to confession anymore. No, that's. But we have to, you know, it's been said the sacraments are for the living, right? They help us to live, to fix, to be grace-filled in our life so that we can work on living good, holy lives and correcting what's wrong and getting ourselves, hopefully, to heaven by God's grace. And so God knows what's in our heart. And, you know, we've got people that are in the hospital. We can't go down and see them. We can't go and minister to them, you know.
Yeah, not because you don't want to, because they actually, the hospital actually will not let you go.
You know, and so it's a very difficult situation. But the grace of the sacraments, you know, God's got this. He's not going to check our Catholic card, but he is going to check your heart and your soul.
I think so. One of the things that's kind of been going on, they've been talking about from the Catechism, Catechism paragraph 1452, when it arrives from a love by which God is loved above all else, contrition is called perfect. Such contrition remits venial sins. It also obtains forgiveness of mortal sins if it includes the firm resolution to have recourse to sacramental confession as soon as possible. And so that's kind of what's been thrown around, has kind of been referred to by the Vatican, by Pope Francis. And it's just right now, so it's just a matter of just having a contrite heart. And so ultimately, and even says, what is contrition? Contrition is sorrow of the soul and detestation for the sin committed, together with a resolution not to sin again. So contrition is kind of, ultimately, it's what anchors confession. The penitent comes forward, you're going to confession, because of your contrition, your sorrow for your sin, that's what is allowing the forgiveness of sins to be brought about, to be given absolution. And so, we can't go to confession right now, but the church is definitely like coming back to like, look, what's really needed is contrition, have a contrite heart, having that repentance, and then when all this is over, go to confession.
So you guys didn't want to set up like a drive-through confessional out in front of the church and
with a splash shield.
I forget where the bishop bishops kind of forbade the priest from doing that.
Oh, really?
Actually, yeah, not one of our bishops, but there was a bishop, I wish I could remember where. Not that it really matters, but he didn't want that kind of thing because it was going against what the state wants as far as shelter in place. And not just our state or our county, but there's a lot of them that are in that situation. And so, you know, and you can also see the problem. You know, you come to the drive-through confessions with a family of four who all want to go to confession. Well, at some point, they got to get out of the car. And so it just creates
a rather non-sacramental thing, doesn't it?
A false, I'm trying to think of the word I want.
Almost like a false sense of privacy.
Well, false sense of privacy is part of it, but also I need the confession. You know, Father Chris just talked about what the catechism says and the contrite heart, you know? I know there are those who say, oh, please, Father, if I end up in the hospital with the coronavirus, you know, because I have bad health, please promise me you'll come down and anoint me and give me the, because, you know, I may have sin. Well, okay, I can't get in. I can promise you, you know, but there are certain things that we have to take responsibility of our own actions. And when it comes to the spirituality that we're kind of forced to take on right now, is a lot. It's a lot put on you, the individual.
And demonstrating our faith, just demonstrating our faith that we have in God and His mercy. Because, you know, God is going to do what's best for us. And if we truly do have contrition, if we're in dire straits and we need confession or we need healing, God is there for us, yeah. Even if a priest can't be there to mediate in between.
Yeah, it's you know,
what's interesting, like I'm just having a flashback right now, like a little bit into seminary, and that God works through the sacraments, but God doesn't need the sacraments to work. You know, so it's mm-hmm. like oh, yeah. he's given the church the sacraments, and that's how he's working. But sometimes he'll just still work outside of the sacraments. And so, what was it? Was it Peter? Paul. Well, I think it was Peter. Like, they found the people. Holy Spirit came down upon them, and he's like, oh, they're not even baptized yet. Like, we got to baptize them right now. And it's God worked. And then they're like, oh, we need to catch up to what the Lord is doing. So, I don't know, just something else to kind of consider there.
Okay, so another one from the rules and regs file. Did you see the bishop? No, it might have been. Yeah, I guess it must have been a bishop up in New Jersey, who a few weeks ago said that the at least for his flock up there in New Jersey, the requirement to abstain from meat on Fridays for the remainder of Lent was suspended because, quote, I believe it was, you have already sacrificed enough with this.
Oh, man.
Craziness. It shows the humanity of our priests and bishops.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, you know, we're getting ready to go into, well, not getting ready, we're in Holy Week. You know, it has begun. And in 2 days from now, we are going to honor and worship Christ crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we can go out and stop by a Steak and Shake or
the filet mignon.
Well, you can drive through it.
Drive through. You can't, right, yeah, right, you can't go in. The drive, any drive through and get a burger and... you know, I mean, I understand what he's saying, and I think it's, yeah, it's nice. I know apparently someone had contacted me. As you probably know, I am on no social media, so anything I get is either through an email or a phone call. And they said that they're all excited because here in Albany, now they could eat meat because of the bishop up in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to sadly tell them.
Did you break the news that no, that's only for the New Jersey folks?
Yeah, so those of you who may have eaten meat last Friday thinking you were dispensed from it, hurry up and get to confession.
Or rather have contrition.
have contrition because if I remember, not that I've had any training whatsoever, none, like you guys all, but the conditions for something to be sinful is the first part is you have to understand and believe that it is in fact a sin.
Correct.
Yeah.
And full consent of the will and sufficient reflection.
Yeah.
Okay. So if they were operating under the guise of, well, the bishops in New Jersey said so, so it must be okay, so it is okay, then probably they didn't sin, but we're telling you now not to do it again.
Yeah, probably they did, yeah, but you knew better. You just want an excuse. Like, yeah. Ultimately, like, I would go back to that. Like, what are you doing?
he probably just got in his shipment of steaks or something. You know, didn't want to wait till Saturday.
Very, very good. Okay. All right. So we're almost through with the rules and regs questions. So let's talk about the RCIA for just a moment. We have new people coming into the church, or who would have been coming into the church on Easter Vigil on Saturday night. That obviously is not going to happen because we won't be having Mass on Saturday night here,
well,
at the church.
We will be having Mass, but...
Well, not a public Mass.
Y'all ain't invited.
That's right. I have to sit and watch it on TV somewhere. So what is the current plan, not just for us, but for anybody, for the people to come into the church, be received in the church?
Well, this, I did send a letter out to the... This is the same problem that everybody's having. Question. I kind of am looking at and hoping that on Sunday, which would be the end of May, May 30th or 31st or something like that, On that weekend, we would take one of the masses, and that mass would be where we would bring them into the church.
That'd be really cool.
Baptize those who need to be baptized and confirm. I mean, it's a great, I mean, you think about,
Holy
wow.
Spirit, yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit, and I mean, it's the perfect time. Mm-hmm. Not to say that the Easter Vigil isn't, of course, that's the highest, holiest day of the whole liturgical year. Right. But we're kind of aiming for that. But it's not, nothing's definite
we
because
have to get Corona to cooperate.
You know, right. the governor today just extended the shelter in place to the end of May, April.
End of April, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we're hoping that and praying with what we see in the news and things are looking better, but different areas of the country keep becoming the hot spot. We've been the hot spot here in Albany, it seems, since the very beginning.
Oh yeah, we've been Ground Zero in Georgia. That's our newest nickname.
So,
not one that I would like to keep, by the way. But,
so if there are those who are in the RCIA who are listening, you know, they did get a letter, and you know, we just got to be patient, you know, and that's for all of us. We don't, you know, I mean, goodness sakes. You know, each one of us in this room are dealing with different points of view on how this coronavirus, how the shutdown affects us. You know, for me, it's a lot of the operations, school, Neighbors in Need, St. Clair's, and the church, and keeping things going. And as I say that, I appreciate every day I get the mail, and there are envelopes in there, and those who have kind of gone online to set up their online giving, and you know, because we still have to function. You know, we still have bills to pay, although they're hopefully a lot less. So you know, that's my point of view. As far as alone time, I'm okay with it. I kind of like it. You know, I always have. But I'm sure, like, Deacon Mike might have a different point of view, being home with five girls?
I'm home with five, yeah.
With five.
Five, well, four girls. Sometimes five if Maddie comes down the street to visit. But, yeah, so I work at the hospital, and so my staff has all gone home to work from home. And so I'm working a 40-hour week from home with all the chaos of the girls at the house.
Wow. What a problem. What a problem.
It's a fun problem to have.
That's right. Father Chris?
Oh, I'm like, what? I don't know. My perspective, point of view, like, it's just been... So, I mean, I am an introvert with extroverted tendencies.
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Rewind the tape. I don't know if you can rewind digital, but did you just say you're an introvert?
Yeah, so I'm an introvert with extrovert tendencies. So, like... I'm fine being up front in front of people. I can have the dynamic and energy, but then I just need to pull away. Like, I just need my alone time. And so, at first, this has been really great just to have a lot of time, just to be kind of like quiet. It's like, yeah, this is awesome. But now I can't really have people though. Like, I need the dynamic of having others there so I can pull away from others. And now that I'm just like, it's just really intense. It's just been really, it almost feels like a little like mini retreat of sorts. And so, yeah, it's been tough for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that I miss the most, obviously, since my most visible contribution to the church ministry is playing guitar and singing every week. And, you know, I joked, because I don't play at home anymore. The only time I play is when I come to church. You know, that's where that is. And I joked that, you know, guitar players, you know, they have the calluses on the fingers, which is what makes you able to press down on the strings.
Yeah.
And they're softening. It's been a while since they're softening. It's like I'm going to have to toughen them up before we get back in, or else I'm going to be sitting there like screeching in pain going through each hymn. You know, it'll be kind of entertaining. But yeah, it's you know, and as wonderful as the as say Father Chris is televised or streamed, I guess you'd call it streaming, wouldn't it, on internet? As wonderful as that is, you know, It really does miss something when what I like to call the full meal deal, or the full mass, with the music and everything else, is when the music is missing. And you know, it's like I watch you, you finish this prayer, and I'm thinking my hands automatically go into position like they want to play something. It's like, no, there's nothing to play. I can't do that. So, yeah, it's the absence is huge.
Yeah,
and we'll be looking forward to getting back into that whenever that happens, which, as we just said, today the order was extended through the month of April. So obviously it's going to be the first weekend in May before we get back into the church at the earliest.
Potentially.
Maybe.
Pardon?
Potentially.
Potentially. Wouldn't that be nice to get in for May, though, because, you know, May is the month of Mary. Wouldn't that be a nice way to come back in?
It would be wonderful.
It would be wonderful.
It'd be lovely.
All right. So let's, I think we hit all the rules and regs questions. So let's talk about Holy Week and what we've got coming up. How are we? I mean, I know you put a lot of this in your letter, and there's some of it is available online. But how are we sort of celebrating the Triduum and beyond for the next few weeks?
You know, Holy Week began with Palm Sunday, and we had the Mass on Saturday night that Father Chris and I, Deacon Mike, was there, and Lori was there representing. where we blessed the palms, of course, and read the Passion.
We all sat, like, very distant from each
other.
Yeah,
like, it's very weird.
It was very awkward.
It's very strange, yeah. I know there was a couple weeks ago where Deacon Jay helped Father Chris at one of the Masses, and it was his first time kind of doing with nobody there in front. It was just he and Father Chris, and
yeah.
I didn't see it, but I heard that there was a little bit of confusion and... you know, and even like for myself on Palm Sunday, like at one point after I purified my hands, washed my hands, I went back to restart that prayer.
Yes.
And Father Chris corrected and said, you already did that. So.
Oh, you can never pray a prayer too much.
You know, there's, it's different, because the liturgies themselves. What I'm finding is there's really not that much that has to go. But we will tomorrow night begin the Triduum, the Mass, with the regular way, and we will not have the washing of the feet. That has been, and so. And then with the post-communion prayer, but no end of the liturgy. So that'll be on Thursday, tomorrow. And then Friday we'll gather and we'll do the Passion of our Lord. We'll reverence the cross, just myself. Reverencing the cross as the directives from the bishop, and mm-hmm. 11, there's usually 10, but there'll be 11, especially in time for the coronavirus.
Yeah,
we'll pray those, and we will receive communion, which will be from the because it's just, you know,
but it's a good visual
from the night before,
right. Yeah.
And that's what we'll receive because on Good Friday, the only day of the whole year that Mass is not permitted to be celebrated, and then on Saturday we will gather again, where a lot of the Easter Vigil, which usually takes 2.5 hours. We'll probably be done within an hour.
Yeah. And you're not going to be building the fire and everything else?
There's no fire. There's no blessing of the Easter candle. There is the blessing of the water, and that's the water that will be given, just like we did in the Palms on Sunday morning. We'll have the front doors of the church open, and we invite you to come between 9 and 1. It was wonderful seeing so many who came for Palm Sunday and being able to greet from the other side of the foyer. I know I scared a few of you when I said, hey, because you didn't think anybody was there. You know, we'll have that holy water that had been blessed the night before. And that's, you know, our kind of what we're going to give as your Easter, you know, for you to take home. Father Chris is going to write up a little prayer that we'll have a copy of for you to take it home and, and bless your house with. And so, I was going to put out a big bowl of jelly beans that everybody could take a handful, but I was advised against that.
So. No, that probably wouldn't work.
But that'll be on Easter Sunday, and then we go into the holy season of Easter, just as we have been the last 2 weeks, still longing and yearning and wanting to be in the presence of the Lord. As a reminder, also, while I'm thinking of being in the presence of the Lord, you know, we moved the tabernacle from the chapel into the bell tower, and I've gotten lots of emails and calls from several of the parishioners who, and I've seen them, you know, I've seen them parked out in front of the bell tower and just taking some time knowing that on the other side of that glass, just like always, I mean, Jesus is present in the church at all times, that Christ is right there with us, you know, and so being able to just come and park and spend a few minutes has been kind of a lifesaver for several people, and it was a great idea that was given to me from a friend up in West Virginia in their diocese. Their bishop asked all of the priests to move the tabernacle or to set up a temporary tabernacle in front of the doors of their church. So there's the masses will go on as usual, with a lot of things that won't happen at them, but it doesn't make them any less, and the grace of those masses is not any less either. But I do strongly encourage you, strongly, to really connect online. You know, last night, as I mentioned, I watched it from the cathedral, and it was, you know, they have people that can kind of move cameras and zoom in, and there was music, and it was beautiful and prayerful, and I know several have asked, why aren't we doing that? Because you'd have one camera, and it just, we're a universal church, and this is a good reminder of that when we can connect, you know, with our bishop, or with the Holy Father, or anybody else in the world. You know, when you go on vacation, right, I mean, you go to church, I hope. you go to church. It's not, you know, I mean, we don't have that mentality. Oh, no, my church is on the corner of Edgewood and Maryland. That's where my church is. No, our church is universal. And this is one of the reasons why I've chosen that we will not video our Holy Week services, because I really think it's important.
Yeah. I think something you kind of mentioned just springboarding off of that, you mentioned something after Easter, you know, will still be that longing, just wanting to go to Mass. And so we'll be in the Easter week, and we're heading towards Pentecost. And, I mean, after the resurrection, I mean, the disciples, the apostles, they were still scared. They were hiding. They were waiting and praying in silence.
Still looking
for
Jesus.
And so it's, you know, it'd be the same spirituality for us. We're still waiting. We're still longing. We're still kind of, quote-unquote, hiding. And so just a thought there.
Yeah, and you think about the first Easter resurrection. I mean, it wasn't a church full of people there at the grave, right?
That's right.
Right. All right, well, we have just probably about 10, 12 minutes left. So what I would like to do is to get each of you to I don't know if you want to call it a mini homily, thoughts for the season, thoughts for the people. Deacon Mike, can we start with you?
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts going into Holy Week. I love the church. I love the liturgical seasons that we follow. And how at the beginning of the year we have Christ born and we follow his life. And everything he leads to, everything that God was leading us to happens in at Easter. You know, our salvation is won at Easter. And so it's beautiful going into this season. I know it's sad for people not to be able to come into the church like normal. It's sad for the RCIA folks to be put off. They're still on the path. Nobody's turning them away. But it is, there's a little sadness in that. But there's also great hope that Easter is still going to happen. I mean, life is still going on. Mm. Throughout the whole world, the Mass is still happening, even though we may not be able to publicly celebrate it. We can still celebrate, especially through the media. And, yeah. And I think it's a wonderful way to enter in and still, you know that there is a longing. It's just a good message.
All right. Father Chris?
I don't even know. So actually, I was hearing this random little like snippet. Someone was saying that when a butterfly is coming out of its like cocoon, if you were to cut the cocoon to help it out, the butterfly is actually going to die, and that because the butterfly needs to push its way out, it needs to go through this moment of suffering, and that will actually force the blood into the wings as it's coming out, so then it can then open its wings so it can fly. And I think as he was just kind of going off to say that we tend to want to protect ourselves and avoid pain, but it's pain and suffering that actually helps us mature, that helps us learn about something. And not that this whole situation, the whole virus thing, is something that like we needed, but just to realize that the Lord is going to work through this. You know, we can still enter into the celebration of Holy Week and the festivities afterwards. And know the Lord is working in the midst of all that. It just requires us to have the proper disposition to be able to allow the suffering to be what unites us to Christ, allows there to be life that comes out from at the end of it.
Wonderful. Father Ray, yeah. The pastor, you get the last word.
Well, we did receive a lot of the questions that we've already talked about, but one overall question was about... I'll just jump to the end of it where the person asks, I guess my overall question is, are we going through this time because God is mad at us? And Deacon Jay responded, and he says, several points. God loves us for sure. Jesus died on the cross to prove that, so that is beyond any doubt. But he still hates sin, yet it is certainly possible to be rightly angry at someone you love, if you see them harming themselves or others that you also love, especially if they refuse to stop. Yet even when God is unhappy with us because of our disobedience, he is still wrong. It is still wrong to say that something like this is sent from him out of vengeance. Such things are the consequences of the very sins he has been trying to protect us from by giving us truth and the way to live life. I can put it this way. If I give you an umbrella so you can stay dry in the rain and you decide to step out from under it because you want to be standing elsewhere, and then you get soaking wet and catch a cold, you cannot say I sent the rain to punish you for refusing my umbrella. Likewise, if I tell my child not to stick a fork into the light socket and maybe even punish him to reinforce my command when I see him attempting to do it, it is because I love him and do not want him to be hurt. If he persists and sticks that fork in, he will get shocked. But I didn't send him the shock because I don't like him anymore. Anyway, there is no denying this epidemic is hurting a lot of people and causing them to fear. I suggest we meditate on Romans 8:28, where we have the promise that God can work good out of every situation, no matter how bad, if we will seek him and let him have his way. Therefore, I pray that this epidemic will make people who have ignored God come to realize that we are not in control of our lives, and we need to be close to a merciful and loving Father and obey him in order to have the abundant life he says he wants to give us. And that can be found in John chapter 10, verse 10. If the pandemic leads to conversion of sinners, it will be a good thing in the end. So try and offer up your present suffering for that final good. And remember, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Finally, I suggest we turn to God's mercy in this time. Perhaps we can pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy every day, plus put the image of the Divine Mercy up in your home and on your door. Divine Mercy Sunday this year is April 19th, so I pray we will see a break in this epidemic by then, and then give God the gratitude he deserves for saving us yet again. And there's some words from Deacon Jay. On Good Friday, the novena begins to the Divine Mercy, so if you have access to the novenas, then that's a great novena to pray, seeking God's mercy. How much time do I have? Any?
Oh, sure. You have, you got about five, 6 minutes if you want to go.
All right. And then I responded to someone else. The thought on the perspective of the coronavirus and what caused this. Verse 5 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And therefore, he cannot will evil. Rather, he permits evil because in his infinite wisdom he is able to bring the greater good out of it. God really does allow us the freedom to choose him in times of calamity, to trust him, to love him. You know, and so don't fall for God is out smiting us, right?
Right.
Because it's easy for us to fall into that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just have to, you know, it's so important. You know, this is not where we end. This is not our final destination. Our final destination is heaven. And the good, I think, that God is working through this is creating a longing in those who cannot come to Mass, those who cannot receive the sacraments. You know, there are people who are dying without their family beside them because they can't get into the hospital, the nursing home, the Wilson Hospice. You know, they're not allowed in. People are dying alone. But this is why faith is so important, right? This is why faith is so important. If you're dying in a hospital and you can't have a friend or a mother or father or brother, sister, a relative, a husband or a wife, a son or a daughter beside you to hold you and to comfort you, guess what? Jesus Christ is there. And that's all you need, right? And that's the power that we need. That's our hope, and that's what builds our faith. And that's why I'm hoping that this absence from the Eucharist will help us to grow in the reality that eternity is there for us, and that needs to be our priority in life, not all of this other junk that we make as priorities. And even to say, you know, no matter what, when God's not, when our family's not there, God is there always. He's always there. And so stay strong in faith. Pray for an end to this virus, and you know, pray especially for all of those who have lost lives. Pray for those families who are suffering. You know, it's not only the death of a loved one, but you know, we're doing drive-by funerals in the cemetery. Like they can't even bring their loved one to the church.
Yeah.
So, it's you know, this is serious stuff, and that's why our faith is so important. So continue to, use the resources that you have. There are millions of them. Continue to pray for patience for those of you who have kids at home who want them back at school. Pray for patience and pray for an end to this calamity that we are facing. And you know, also remember the other things in life that are happening, right? You know, I know that oftentimes the situation at hand is there is of most importance, but there's a lot of other things that this world needs prayer for. And so let's not lose our focus. And God bless you all.
Thank you, Father Ray, and thank you, Father Chris, and Deacon Mike, and Deacon Jay by proxy, who, well, he was going to phone in his piece, but instead he, I guess he emailed his piece so he could get in here. Thank you all for participating in this coronavirus edition of St. Teresa's on the Air. I hope, you know, we're going to let this edition run beyond Holy Week for several episodes to make sure everybody has an opportunity to hear this. And hopefully, when we come back, we'll tell you that we're open again.
And where are they going to hear this?
Well, they're if they're listening to it now, they're on the radio, probably. But they will also, you can tell your friends, you know, WTOA is what is called a low-power FM station. So basically, it covers the Albany city limits, sort of. And that's being generous in some of the far stretching areas of town. But this is going to be, you can tell your friends that this is going to be uploaded and available as, what's the jargon, a podcast, play on demand?
Yes, a podcast.
Is that it? It will be, you'll be able to go to the St. Teresa's website, and there is, you know, when you look at the menu, there's a little section for WTOA, and you'll be able to go there and click on it and listen to it over and over and over again. I know you will. You should see Father Ray trying to stifle that laugh. That was great. So thank you, gentlemen, and
Steve.
We will look forward to doing this again sometime under much better conditions.
Amen.